The hour of 12:45 having arrived, I'm going to call to order the Greater Minnesota Jobs, Economic Development, and Finance Division. Representative Lean, do you have a motion for us?
Mr. Chair, thank you. I do. I move to approve the minutes from January 30th, 2019.
Representative Lean moves to approve the minutes. Is there any discussion? Seeing no discussion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The minutes are approved. Thank you. With that, I'm going to turn the committee over to Representative Lean, and we'll begin the presentation. Mr. Chair and members, this is also part of our committee. It is an account. The size of this account is relatively small, and you'll hear the number that the governor is going to propose on Wednesday. However, the scope of the account is huge. For those of us who have had disasters in or near our districts, these things often add up to the hundreds of millions. In southeastern Minnesota, it has cost lives. It has changed the dynamic of certain communities and areas. So I'm going to go over today a brief history of disasters, starting with the disaster of 2007, when southeastern Minnesota, in one night, got 15 inches of rain. So what you're looking at is downtown Rushford. Rushford was sort of the epicenter of the 15 inches, but it was not alone in the impact of those 15 inches of rain. No one anticipated anything like 15 inches. Certainly no one anticipated what would happen when 15 inches slid off the bluffs, when 15 inches hit certain bridges and artifacts. Southeastern Minnesota was the first part of the state settled, so its structures are some of the oldest in the state. Those structures were hit very hard by the disaster, and actually we had to change how we deal with historic buildings as a result of this. So I'm now looking at a map of Winona County. This is literally the day after the 15 inches, and you're looking at X's. Now, these X's are a little deceptive, because where there is an X, it says it's damaged or you can't cross it. We had entire bridges disappear. There were sections of road, sometimes as much as a mile, that was sheared off a bluff that was simply gone. We had whole sections of railroads that disappeared. There were parts of southeastern Minnesota that were inaccessible, Rushford being one of them. The city itself you could only access by boat. You had other areas where unless you knew a cow path or a back path in, you simply couldn't get to some areas of southeastern Minnesota. So this map is a good illustration of the impact the day after the 15 inches, and then how we were going to deal with it. And how we were going to deal with it became most interesting. The president declared a national disaster. That was a good thing, and FEMA came in and they started repairs. We then knew that was not enough. I'm standing in downtown Rushford. This is what's left of SEMCAC. This is right in downtown where you saw the water in the first slide. A former student of mine is the director of SEMCAC, and we had decided that we would take the Capital Investment Committee and the Ways and Means Committee into southeastern Minnesota to begin an assessment. Now, there's some controversy here, and I'm sure we may have a discussion of it. For whatever reasons, Governor Pawlenty was hesitant to call a special session. So you will see in the slides where there are signs, particularly in Rushford, call Governor Pawlenty, call a special session. And as the days went by and the weeks went by, it's August. You're going to move into September, winter. Now look at these buildings without heat, Look at these buildings exposed, and in some cases, they couldn't even be restored to this level. So we were now up against the elements. When we called the committees to come down, I walked. Everybody else was on the bus. So for you first-termers, here's a little tip. Don't take the bus. Use your feet. So I was across the street from the school gym when word came that we had a surprise guest. Governor Pawlenty had followed us down with no announcement, no press, and you can see he's talking to a rather packed crowd of people from Rushford who have questions about their homes, questions about their businesses, questions literally about their community, and I came in and sat down and I listened to the end of his conversation. They were doing what Minnesotans do, Minnesota nice. And when he asked for questions, there really weren't any, so I stood up and said I had a couple of them, not the least of which was when he was going to call a special session. Tom Olmscheid came in behind me, our house photographer, and remember, everybody else is on the bus. So first-termers, again, walking, walk, on site, good thing. He took a picture, and it looked like Pawlenty had his mic, which looked like a gun. I had my hand on my hip, which looked like I was going to be drawing a gun. So it became known as High Noon at Rushford High. What you don't see in back of me sitting on the bench is the editor of the Tri-County Record. He sat there and he watched this. The next day he would do an editorial. It would go local, then it would go statewide, then it would go national. In its title were three words: Rushford, Pawlenty's, Katrina. Shortly thereafter, there was a special session. So never underestimate the power of a local editor. And we'll talk about that later. This is what Rushford looked like during the flood. This is downtown Rushford, the center of the city. I'm using Rushford because this is the one that is most easy to picture the damage that was done to a community. But remember the map when we go back. When we came down with those committees, we could not meet in Rushford. We couldn't meet in Houston. We couldn't meet in Hoka because of the damage. So we swung back, and we actually had the meetings in Winona. And the meetings in Winona had all the local units of government. It had Tri-County Electric. It had Ace Communication. It had any entity that had a number. And what we were after were numbers. How big is this thing? And the numbers, frankly, went off the charts. Nobody had ever seen numbers like this for repairing anything. Now, remember, this is still before the special session's called. So when the special session was called, and here's the proclamation, you can see off to the side the signs that were around Rushford. Call Pawlenty, never give up, his phone number, all of this to put some pressure on having that special session. And when it was called, there were some interesting dynamics. Rushford is not Representative Pawlowski's district. Representative Pawlowski comes up to that district, but the damage to Representative Pawlowski's district was minor. This was then Representative Ken Shumper's district in Senator Sharon Ropes. However, Representative Ken Shumper was a dairy farmer, and when the special session was called, although he was the author of House File 1, he was milking his cows. So Representative Pawlowski then had to present the bill. Now, Representative Poppy is here, and I think she might be the only other representative that was in my office the morning of the special session. Representative Welty was there. We had Mark Malander, my committee administrator, and we had Kathy Novak. And we sat down to go over the bill that I was to present a half hour from then, and I would be in committee from 9 until 5. And the first question I asked was, where did the bill come from? And you notice at the bottom of the slide. Now, this is Kathy Novak, one of our most experienced individuals, and her answer is, Nobody knew. The assumption was what the governor did, and this you can't really fault him for, was take the last 50 years of disaster, put them into a bill, assign some target numbers, and that was the special session bill. So if you had locusts, well, we were covered. If you had fire, well, we're good to go. Tornado, spot on. Any other type of disaster, it was all sort of in there, but this wasn't that type of disaster. This was beyond the scope of any of those disasters. So as the bill started to move, we had to make changes. And the first change we had to make was this. We didn't know if the numbers worked. Wherever there was an assigned number, I started using the word flexibility. Flexibility meant that you were going to have to move money from one area to another if that area didn't need it and another area was short, because once special session ended, we were done. So we went from committee to committee, this is House and Senate, and making sure that we understood the totality of what was before us here and that you could move these numbers, which, by the way, were about $150 million total. And it would be a little over $200 million once we added capital investment. So you're not talking about a small amount of money here. You're talking about a large amount of money, and you're also talking, I'm going to go back again, people died in this disaster. We had a whole community that had no sewer, no electrical, no communication. We had areas of the state that were unreachable unless you knew a cow path to get there. So we were talking about restoring an area of this state to simple functionality, and then hopefully before the elements turned, that we would at least have the structures having heat and we would have water, safe water, drinking water, because that was a real concern. So as we move through, you saw Representative Shumpert finally coming in the afternoon. This is the session weekly cover when we finished it. Now, I'm showing this because this is the Tom Olmscheid picture that he sent to session weekly. This is the one he didn't send. So this is the picture after 9 to 5 o'clock in committee, and now we would go until 3 o'clock in the morning. So for those of you that think there's something special about a special session, think again. These things are draining, and they're taxing on everyone, and you can see the two characters who are sitting at the table. And now we're moving to the House floor. By 3 o'clock in the morning, we had passed the bill. The governor had not signed it. So we would have to wait for the governor's signature. And here's the governor at 3:30 in the morning signing the bill, and I'm standing there with a folder. In that folder, I have the picture of High Noon at Rushford High, and you can see the governor has signed it for my students. And I've kept the picture, and I keep it for this reason. I worked with Governor Pawlenty on a number of issues. He was a Democrat, or he was a Republican, I was a Democrat. We still worked on a number of issues. We worked on this. We disagreed. Finally, though, we did agree. And when we agreed, we had to come together and put something together to make sure we were putting southeastern Minnesota right again. The problem now became the bill. We passed a bill that, frankly, didn't work. And I mean didn't work. I was getting phone calls every day from the Commissioner of Deed. Now, I'll have to say Commissioner McElroy was superb, but he was always asking for clarification. What was legislative intent? What did you mean when you said flexibility? What could be moved from one account to another? We were getting calls from the city, from the county, from the townships, from the school districts. We were getting calls from every entity about the scope of how this was going to play out to them. So, the decision was made to meet in my office and start the drafting of what would be 12A. So 2 weeks after the special session, Kathy Novak, Mark Malander, Paul Moe from Deed, and I met, and we began to draft what would be 12A. Never again would the state of Minnesota be put in a position where we did not know how to respond in a disaster. Now, this is how sharp Kathy Novak was. We asked for suggestions for the first draft that would go to 13 agencies, and Paul Moe would draft, he would round robin it. And her first suggestion was this: could we please put it in alphabetical order so we could find what we needed to find? That's how simple some things are, and yet how critical they are to making sure a draft works. So we had 13 drafts. Every 2 weeks, that bill was drafted from 13 agencies, the counties, the cities, the townships, school districts, all got to see the bill. This is when we're not in session. We came back then in my office. We looked at the corrections. Then we made sure that we agreed. Then we sent it out again. So there were 13 drafts before January 2008. In January 2008, we met in Governor Pawlenty's office, all the commissioners. Everybody went over it one more time. Then it was introduced as a bill, and it became 12A. But it only worked for presidential disasters. Now, we would have presidential disasters. You're going to hear Wednesday about Duluth. Duluth is the poster child for both presidential disasters and for, now we call them gubernatorial or state disasters. So I'm putting up a note from one of my students thanking me about this. And I put it up because this is about people. This is about people and their homes and their jobs. And when we think of a disaster, you have to think from the perspective of what they're going through and what we have to go through to put this back together. In 2012, an assessment was done by the legislative auditor of 12A. We knew it was coming. The disasters now were coming at us. There are nine since southeastern Minnesota, Duluth being the one that was the most egregious, but there were others. But they didn't rise to the level of a presidential declaration. So the legislative auditor said we needed two things. We needed a new type of disaster declaration, a gubernatorial or a state one, and we needed an account. We needed an account when we were not in session to make sure that we could address these disasters as fast as possible and get the aid to those people and areas without having to go through a special session. Now, special sessions, and I'm just putting up an article here from our friends at the Rochester Post Bulletin because I know we have a member who is from Rochester, and he would appreciate articles from the Rochester Post Bulletin. And the Rochester Post Bulletin article is an interesting one on how we should address this, and it goes after a press release I did. But I'm putting up something else. This is the last special session for a disaster in 2013. Notice it's signed by the governor, it's signed by the Speaker of the House, signed by the majority leader, signed by the minority leaders. And in the first paragraph, the word appropriation is misspelled three different ways. This is why, if you can't spell appropriation, I don't think we should be allowed to do it. When you're in a special session, you do things too fast. When you're in a special session, you're reacting to things without all of the knowledge that you need to make sure you do things correctly. At the bottom, it says there is nothing special about a special session. Believe me, there is not. We have had 16 special sessions in the last 21 years. There's nothing special about any one of them, except the fact that the disaster ones were absolutely needed. So 12B would be created to make sure you don't have to call a special session. Now, the governor still can, but he doesn't have to, as long as that account is solvent. And what you're going to hear Wednesday is that the account is no longer solvent, that the account is going to have to be replenished, and then the size of that replenishment is what this committee will decide and what we will decide in the legislature. I'm going to go back to a second to the Tri-County Record and the editor of the paper. When he retired, the Rochester Post Bulletin interviewed him. Then they did a a very nice story about him when he unfortunately passed away shortly thereafter of cancer. And they asked him if he had done anything as an editor of a paper that he thought was noteworthy. And he said, yes, I did. He said, I can put it to you in three words. Best three words I ever wrote. Rushford, Palentes, Katrina. He said, saved our community. And I say it because that's how serious this is. It took an editor of a paper to do what we were trying to do, and he could do it in three words. So now this is how 12B works. When we came back after the last of the disasters that was done under 12B, Knobloch was carrying a bill. This is House File 164. No special session. This is how we address the disaster. 12B was put into effect. And notice the bill. The bill is simply a receipt. Here's what it cost. We then paid the bill. No special session. We knew where the money was going. It could be edited. It could be refined. But this went to the people and to the areas as fast as possible. So when we're talking in this committee about 12A and 12B, when we're going over disasters, if the governor says he's putting $10 million in, $10 million is just the amount that starts everything rolling if a disaster is called by the governor. That's why it's important. And if we're not in session, we need to make sure that aid gets to those individuals and to those communities as fast as possible. That's why this works. So we're going to have that discussion on Wednesday. And with that, there's just a little exchange here in the next slide between the governor and myself on replenishing the fund. It isn't every day you get an email from a governor's staff member saying that legislation that was passed actually worked. This works. It continues to work. We've tweaked it a couple of times. Representative Albright and I tweaked it a couple of years ago because of an anomaly. And I think that there's been a discussion before committee about some interesting twists that have happened. We don't know where the next disaster is coming from. We don't know what it will be. But if it's anything like the previous disasters, we have to be ready. This account has to be standing there in order to help. And we have to make sure that this state lives up to its promises to the people of Minnesota. So with that, members, I'm open to questions. Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Blowski. Questions for members? Rep. Spanerson.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. And Representative, thanks for that interesting piece of history. A couple questions. Who was the original author of your House File 1 after the Rushford?
It was Ken Blowski. I was Ken Schumper, with Mr. Chair and Representative. Representative Schumper was the original author of House File 1 for that special session. However, I was second author. Representative Schumper was a dairy farmer, and he was milking cows. He couldn't make it right away, so I filled in.
Representative Anderson.
Thanks again, Mr. Chair. I guess my question would be, who actually wrote it? When you said there were some things that didn't quite work correctly, where did it come from?
Mr. Chair, Representative Anderson, in the beginning of this, I explained it. I'm going to explain it again because it's worth explaining. When we sat in my office and I was being prepared to go down to committee, I asked Kathy Novak where the bill came from, and she said she didn't know. She said their best guess was it was accumulated in the governor's office based on the previous disasters of the last 50 years. So they accumulated those disasters into a bill, assigned a target number to the different sections, and that was it. So whether it was locust, fire, tornado, whatever it was, that became the bill. And it didn't work, as we saw. So that's why you now have Chapter 12A and 12B.
Representative Anderson.
Thanks again, Mr. Chair. And what is, if you said this before I came in, I apologize, what is the threshold for a FEMA call disaster or the presidential disaster that has to kick all of this off?
Mr. Chair, Representative Anderson, that, of course, is up to the president, and it's up to the governor. And they make the call. So it's either you make a call saying it's a disaster, or if one of the thresholds would be this. Clearly, the local units of government cannot handle whatever the scope of the disaster is. So they're going to need help. If it isn't a presidential declaration, then it becomes a gubernatorial declaration, and the state will come in.
Representative Anderson.
Thanks again. A little bit confusing. In a disaster pertaining to agriculture, there has to be a certain level of damage before the disaster is called by USDA. So are you saying that's not the same here with one that affects our infrastructure?
Mr. Chair, Representative Anderson, I think part of this is on site. You will often see the governor, for instance, traveling on site, taking a look, and then getting reports on site from the local. Usually it's the local units of government first. But I will say that because of the changes that we've made, it also might be, for instance, the utilities, too. If we have reports that the utilities are going to need assistance, that's factored into whether or not there's a disaster call.
Okay. Representative Mahoney.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Chair Pawlowski. If it's a gubernatorial declared disaster and we issue money out of this particular account, is that refundable or reimbursable by FEMA?
Representative Pawlowski.
Mr. Chair, Representative Mahoney, FEMA has its own criteria, and there's the famous 75-25 that plays into this. So the criteria of FEMA, I'm going to let them explain on Wednesday what the criteria is, and we're going to have the Department of Homeland Security here because they're ultimately responsible for what's going to happen here. Some of it may indeed be refundable. That's true. But again, it depends on the disaster, and it depends on how it plays out. There's the playbook here changes with each disaster.
Representative Mahoney.
On another topic, do other states have, Mr. Chair and Representative Pawlowski, do other states have similar programs?
Representative Pawlowski.
Mr. Chair, Representative Mahoney, as far as I know, we are one of the best prepared states now. And that's taken us 7 years to get to this point.
Representative Mahoney.
One more question. This is a general fund appropriation versus a fee-based or special revenue fund, correct?
Representative Pawlowski.
Mr. Chair, Representative Mahoney, yes, it is. We put this in the fund, and then the totality of the fund, as you're going to find out on Wednesday, is a recommendation made by, in this case, it's going to be the governor. Frankly, I think the governor's recommendation may be low, considering what we might be facing in the next biennium. But again, it's up to the body, and if you like special sessions, then keep it low, because that's probably where we'll end up.
Well, it's nice to see everybody once in a while.
Mr. Chair, Representative Mahoney, I'm going to repeat again, having slugged through these, there's nothing special about a special session. And I think the problem with special sessions is we throw money at things, and we don't know what we're throwing the money at. If we go through this process, then we're presented with a bill, and the bill is a breakdown of what the costs were for the disaster. And I think that's a much more appropriate way to do it and a better way to do it for the people of Minnesota.
Okay, Representative Pawlowski, I have a couple questions myself. I see on House File 164, that was initially authored by Representative Knobloch.
Mr. Chair, that's correct.
And Representative Pawlowski, what session was that initially passed? I see the date.
This would have been
12-30-14?
Mr. Chair, this would have been the 2014 session, yes. This would have been one of the first bills that came up on the House floor. I've edited this presentation because I didn't think you wanted the video clips from the floor discussion. However, I could go back and replay those for you. Some very good speeches by individuals in this room were given on that day.
I appreciate that. And then just one other question. What was the initial appropriation for this account?
The initial appropriation, they asked for $20 million. And that was reduced significantly. I think you're going to see on Wednesday the governor is going to do an initial recommendation of 10, and that's going to be backfill. Where we are now is actually that there's been a shifting of funds to cover the most recent disasters so that there would not have to be a special session. So on Wednesday, we're going to have a detailed accounting here of exactly where the fund stands and what we're going to need to do to make the fund solvent again. And there may indeed be another appropriation after what you're going to hear on Wednesday.
Thank you. Representative Salk.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Is the arc of what we're trying to build as a paradigm, a window through which to understand maybe future decisions and or things that we're going to have before us, is there a framework or is that yet to be developed or is it contemplated of the arc of change from some starting point through to where we are now? I tend to appreciate seeing information that is laid out in some sort of historic and data type of situation. I think oftentimes you can see into where circumstances may be arising, particularly on the balance and that sort of thing.
Representative Pulaski.
Mr. Chair, Representative, the way this is structured is that the minute a disaster is declared on either level, a series of protocols instantly go into place where the agencies, they will then have the resources. But more importantly, the area that is hit, whatever area that is, the local units of government and individuals can now anticipate the assistance they're going to get, and that assistance is going to come without a special session, and it will come as quickly as possible. And I know your question goes way beyond this, but that really is the impetus behind this, that we saw in 07 what delay cost us, and it cost us a great deal. And we put people in harm's way. There was no need for it, but we did. And that's unacceptable. So the premise of this is we are going to try to assist these peoples in this area as quickly as possible. And we're going to do it in a way that's quantifiable. So we're just not throwing money at it. We threw money at the 07 disaster, and we threw it poorly. And the ramifications were significant after the 07 special session. We never want to be in that position again.
Representative Sell.
Thank you, Representative Chair. Also, is there any group, any agency, people of knowledge who are studying areas in the state that might be vulnerable based on local characteristics of geology? And I can give you an example, because I was driving home that night and I drove through a bridge, and 10 minutes later, same bridge, and I had looked out over the river that I'd driven across, that bridge disappeared. And I don't feel like I missed fate or anything. I just know that that's how fast water moving through our geology is so different from water that's maybe moving through out by Morris and generally much flatter terrain, that water floods and creates a different scenario. And that's why I'm curious, does somebody at the state level with appropriate backgrounds just look at how these things develop based on the geography and the geology?
Mr. Chair, Representative, yes, and in fact, the 07 flood and then what happened in Duluth too, because Duluth was different. Duluth was actually a lake coming back up into two different types of systems, both the storm sewer system and the sewage system. Both then are redesigned based on what happened with those particular disasters. And usually now we try to go for a 500-year. The Department of Transportation and others are building bridges that hopefully would be able to sustain, and you wouldn't see the bridge leave the minute you cross it that night. So every now and then, I think we all might get a complaint that somebody's overbuilding a bridge or somebody's doing something that it looks like they're putting too much into it. Well, if you've ever seen one disappear, you want to make sure that whatever happens, that bridge or that highway or that railroad is still there after the disaster. So, yes, these are studied in great detail.
Representative Poppy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Pulaski, I think to speak to Representative Anderson's questions about the threshold, I don't know what those numbers are, but I do know that the federal government has thresholds that they determine, and criteria. And sometimes the state will have disasters that don't actually meet the federal threshold, and we've run into that and in a couple of instances. And that's part of the reason why then the 12B came into existence, because we didn't – people when people are harmed and they're in your community, you want to do everything you can to support and make them whole. And I think that we have become much more in tune with that in the time that I've served, in the time that we've all been here. I think it's we've seen that, that many disasters, we need to do something about that. I think the other thing that this legislation did, so I don't know what those numbers are, but I do know that there are those numbers. The other thing that I believe this legislation does is help to determine what gets covered, how it gets covered, who does what, rather than having competing interests trying to do certain things. It was trying to figure out the collaborative and cooperative efforts, and that, to me, was probably one of the best responses out of this legislation, is that people in your local, and I've faced it because we've had flooding in my community, so I know what it was like before this, and I know what it's been like after, and they really do feel as though they get a better response. They know when they make a phone call who's going to step in, or if it's their own responsibility to take care of things. So I just wanted to mention that, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair,
Representative Pulaski.
Representative Poppe is originally from Houston. Houston had to be evacuated during this time because their dike system came within an inch of being flooded, just like Rushford. So we had to evacuate the whole community. Now, to your point, that dike system then had to be rebuilt, and it had to be rebuilt so it would never again be within an inch of flooding, and we had to evacuate a community that had a sizable long-term care facility whose people also then had to be evacuated. I think this legislature has been very cavalier in funding this account. I think they've underestimated the amount that should be in this account, and I think we're playing a dangerous game here. And the dangerous game is that if it's any one of our areas, we could put them in jeopardy, and we could put us in special session. I'm going to repeat it. There is nothing special about a special session. I would rather have this account there and have these protocols put into place so that this help could be given to these people in these areas as quickly as possible under the protocols that exist.
All right. Anything else for the good of the order today? Representative Anderson.
Thanks again, Mr. Chair. Chair Pulaski, again, I guess to clarify, talking about a disaster, and let's pray it never happens again, the size of what happened in Rushford, you mentioned over $100 million. And this disaster fund has $10 to $20 million in it, which doesn't cover, obviously, the damages. So are you saying we can get aid to them sooner and quicker, and this is like a down payment on what may happen, and we still may have to have a special session?
Representative Pulaski.
Mr. Chair, Representative Anderson, exactly correct. This is to start certain things, for instance, removal of debris. There have to be costs that have to be paid quickly. There are other things now, both with FEMA and with our current laws, that have to be accounted for. So this is to start that process right away. Then, as you saw in House File 164, we get a detailed accounting, and that detailed accounting is the final bill. Here's the final bill for the disaster. Here's the scope of it. Here's what we did. Duluth, I think, was the most interesting one because initially when you saw what happened to Duluth, we thought it would be bigger than southeastern Minnesota just by looking at it, because it blew out the whole front part of Duluth and you had the seal from the zoo swimming down the main street. It turned out to be about half as big, still sizable, but not nearly as big as the one in southeastern Minnesota. And remember, the initial appropriation there was about 153. With bonding, it went up over $200 million.
All right. Thank you, Representative Pulaski. And with that, members, we are adjourned.